It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Think back to the events of 9/11. Perhaps you were one of the many Americans who turned on their television sets just in time to watch the Twin Towers tumble to the ground in a cloud of dust. Over a decade later, the scene still seems surreal. Now imagine what it's like for a youngster who wasn't alive on that day to process things like the passengers of Flight 93 forcing a plane to the ground to prevent it from crashing into the Capitol or the White House. There is no shortage of questions a child might have, but how to answer them? That is the challenge that has inspired a joint project by the National Park Service and the School of Education at the University of Pittsburgh, a project to develop a junior ranger handbook for children ages 6 to 12 to understand what happened at the Flight 93 memorial site. I'm joined now by phone from the Flight 93 National Memorial at Stony Brook, Somerset County, by Jeff Reinbold, the memorial superintendent. Jeff Reinbold, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's good to be with you again.
Also with us is Mary Margaret Kerr, a professor of psychology and education at the University of Pittsburgh. Dr. Kerr, good to have you with us. Jeff Reinbold, let's begin with you. What inspired this project to create a handbook for children to help them understand Flight 93?
Well, it's amazing. Right after the crash, people started to come out to the site, and there were a lot of children, a lot of families that were in those groups. And at the time, we had a temporary memorial, and it was a chain link fence where people would come and leave tribute items, and it was something very tangible for children. And we were fortunate that the Fred Rogers Company worked with us on developing a booklet to help kids as they visited the site. But it was really focused on this fence. And in 2011, when we opened the permanent memorial, at least the first phase of it, it was a big change at the site. Not only were we 10 years later into the story, but the memorial was no longer very tangible and something that kids could see and understand. It became much more abstract. And so part of our challenge was, how do we not only tell the story, but how do we tell the story in this place, which is tough for kids to understand.
And what are the reactions that you get from children at the memorial?
Well, they know, you can tell that the parents have often prepped them before they come here, and they talk about that this can be a sad place and a place of tragedy, and it's a place where a plane crashed. And probably our biggest challenge is that the kids come, they hear plane crash, and they expect to come and see the remains of a plane or a crater or something recognizable of a tragedy that happened here, and what they're greeted with is much more like a cemetery where it's the final resting place of the passengers and crew. So we get a lot of questions just for kids trying to understand what really happened here. But then also we've noticed they ask us questions that parents or adults never would. Things like who were the bad guys, and if they're bad, why were they let on the planes? Or if the plane was about to crash, why didn't the passengers and crew have parachutes and jump out of it? And so it's interesting. They definitely don't have some of the filters that the adults do and ask you very insightful questions about what happened and about what they're seeing here at the site.
When did it become apparent to you that the parents weren't talking to their kids about this?
They might have
prepped them, but they certainly weren't having the extensive conversations with the kids and to answer their questions the way you and your staff were and are.
Yeah, well, part of it, as being a parent myself of young kids, you struggle with how do you tell them this story, and it was clear that it wasn't that they didn't want to in many cases; it was that they didn't know how, and we realized that we probably didn't know how either, and it really hit home for us. Leading up to the 10th anniversary, we were sitting with some colleagues from the National September 11th Memorial Museum in New York and the Pentagon Memorial, and they were talking about very academic events that they were going to hold around the 10th anniversary. And we stepped back and said, what is it that we can contribute to this effort? And we thought, no one really is tackling this issue of the young children or in a sustained way. And for us, it's a very practical need. Imagine you're a 20-something ranger. You may not have children yourself, and parents walk up to you, and they don't really know what to do. So they just basically turn the kids over to you and say, you tell them. And so we looked at this as a real opportunity to bring in some experts in the field to help us get smarter and to help give parents some tools, as well as our own staff and our volunteers, and ways to be able to tell this story and explain this this memorial to kids.
And in the meantime, as you're developing this better means of doing that, when the parents were saying, well, you tell them, meaning you and your staff, what did you do? How did you respond to that?
Well, and the other challenge we have is we don't the visitor center that we're constructing won't be completed until 2015. So we're really in a pinch point in the interim where we only have 6 outdoor exhibit panels and basically the width of our rangers and volunteers. And fortunately, we had had some relationships with the previous junior ranger materials we developed, so we weren't totally blind going into this. But it was a very different environment to tell the story in this more formal memorial, and in a place where kids may want to run around and be kids, where other people are having a very emotional and respectful experience, that those two things often clashed. And so, you know, I think the best thing we probably did was we didn't assume we were going to get it right the first time, and that this would be an iterative process, and that as we opened ourselves up and were willing to hear from some outside experts, that we would get smarter with each passing. And we have. We've developed some materials for parents so that it helps prep them before they come, to let them know, you know, here's some of the questions that might be asked, here's what a kid might be seeing. The real eye-opener for our staff, though, was being able to see the site through a child's eyes. I'll never forget when we walked out on the site with some of the professors who were working with us, and one of the first exhibit panels we have in very bold, large letters says, America attacked. And it shows an image of that day. And we wanted the adults to not ever forget what happened here, that it wasn't just that a plane crashed, but it was an event of national and international significance. And, you know, they explained to us through many children's eyes that is incredibly scary to see. And so as we've developed the exhibits there and have learned and what we're going to do in the visitor center, we've taken a lot of that into account and help train our new rangers and new volunteers at the site.
Had you anticipated, say, a few years back, that as the years passed, as we became farther removed from September 11th, 2001, and as we got into an age when there are now many children visiting your site who were not even born at the time that 9/11 occurred and have no recollection whatsoever of it, had you anticipated that this might become a problem, or certainly a challenge for you to find a creative way to explain all this to kids?
We were very cognizant of that from the beginning, of how we would tell the story, perhaps less with kids, but realizing that when we started talking about this with the community and family members, it's only a year or two after the crash. It's incredibly emotional. You don't know if the story's over yet, if there are more attacks to come. Everybody's kind of swept up in the fervor of those years. We knew that that would pass at some point, and we always talked about the next generation coming and those students and children who didn't have those same direct recollections that we did. I think the thing that surprised us is how quickly they got here. We're already seeing middle schoolers who come to the site who were born then, but just don't have that same recollection of it. And it's been a real challenge for us, I think, as we've developed the exhibit panels we have here and we talk about the visitor center. For those of us who live through the events, it's very easy for us to fill in the blanks. We assume a lot because we remember it. These students and these children don't, and they're very inquisitive. They want to know things that a lot of us take for granted, and that's probably been one of the biggest challenges, is we knew they were coming, but we just probably didn't realize that they would be here as quickly as they would, and that they're very inquisitive and very interested in learning about all the aspects of this story.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about a project by the National Park Service and the School of Education at the University of Pittsburgh to develop a Junior Ranger Handbook for children aged 6 to 12 to understand what happened at the Flight 93 Memorial Site. I'm joined on the phone by the Flight 93 National Memorial at Stony Brook, Somerset County, by Jeff Reinbold, the Memorial Superintendent, and also joining us soon will be Mary Margaret Kerr, a professor of psychology and education at the University of Pittsburgh. As we continue, we'll talk about exactly how they partnered for this project. That's coming up. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about a project by the National Park Service and the School of Education at the University of Pittsburgh to develop a Junior Ranger handbook for children ages 6 to 12 to understand what happened at the Flight 93 Memorial site. I'm joined by phone from the Flight 93 National Memorial at Stony Brook, Somerset County, by Jeff Reinbold, the memorial superintendent, and also Mary Margaret Kerr, a professor of psychology and education at the University of Pittsburgh. And before we get to Dr. Kerr, Jeff Reinbold, what led you to partner with Dr. Kerr on this project?
Well, leading up to the 10th anniversary, we wanted to make a contribution to what we knew about how children interacted with sites like this, and especially what they might see around the 9/11 anniversaries. And we're very fortunate that the Fred Rogers Company and Carlo University and the Fred Rogers Center at St. Vincent worked with us to put together a forum where we brought together experts and student teachers and just anybody who worked with children to talk about traumatic events. And one of the speakers who was part of that was Dr. Kerr, and that was the beginning of a very fruitful relationship that we have.
And Dr. Kerr, welcome into the conversation. What are some of the things that make the Flight 93 Memorial a difficult place for children?
It is a very complex place for children. One of the complexities is, of course, that it has the potential to upset children, to distress them, to cause them distress, because it is sad, it was a traumatic event, and it was an act of terrorism. So one of the goals of our work with the Park Service staff is to be mindful of the potential stress and distress this can cause for children. It's also a complex memorial because much of the memorial itself is quite abstract and therefore intangible to children. And lastly, these are children who have no lived experience with this event, and so it is difficult for them to make sense and make meaning of it. And they are often subject to adult interpretations of it. And, of course, those adults do have a lived experience with it.
And yet, despite that, as Jeff and I were discussing in our first segment, parents aren't always, in many situations, talking to their kids about the events surrounding 9/11 and the crash of Flight 93. They're relying on the employees at the memorial to do that for them. Why do parents have such a difficult time discussing this with their children?
I think that trauma affects people differently, and certainly adults who are taking care of children also feel a keen sense of protecting children. Not saying the wrong thing is a common worry that we hear parents' voice when they are at the site. So I think it's a combination of just wanting to be mindful and protecting their children, but also really not being sure what would be an okay thing to say and what might not be.
So you've developed a handbook, or at least a prototype for that. How was it put together?
We began our work in earnest last summer. A team of graduate students, Carrie Olszewski, Nick Ladovit, Rhonda Watson, Chris Scanlon, joined myself and Marianne McMullen, a local art therapist who has worked with children in trauma, and Dr. Connie Palmer, who is an instructional coach in the area of social studies. So the group of us poured over hundreds of artifacts that children had either sent to the site or left at the site, and these included poems, letters, drawings, paintings, three-dimensional objects. And we studied these for a period of weeks and continue to study them to try to understand through the lens of children how young visitors make meaning of the events of 9/11 and how they make particular meaning of the Flight 93 story. We felt that we thought we knew what they were thinking, but we really needed to see firsthand what the artifacts could tell us about how children actually do view these events and this site. So that was the beginning of the exploration, if you will, for this work.
And what is in the handbook?
The handbook is intended to be interesting for children, something that they could complete within the visit and also take home with them. But it's not supposed to look like school, so that's a challenge. We want to be able to accommodate children who have various learning struggles, so we'll be working with a reading specialist on the faculty here, Dr. Trovato, to look at readability levels. And what the booklet looks like is a series of carefully sequenced activities that help children make meaning of three key themes that the National Park Service feel are the important themes that they want in interpreting the memorial. Those themes are a place of reflection, a place of honor, and a call to action. So these are really big ideas, if you will, that we're trying to convey to children in a set of activities that allow them to interact with the memorial. We have an activity, for example, where Marianne has done a lot of drawings of things you might see at the site, and children are asked, see which ones of these you can find. There's a page of tributes, which the children enjoy very much, where children see pictures, drawings of tributes, and they're asked to think about, why do you think somebody might want to leave a medal or a poem or flowers? What do you think that meant to that person? So we're trying to engage children as active participants in the ongoing story of heroism, honor, while having them reflect on this really very spacious, large space that has this interesting and abstract architecture.
And then last week, you invited students out for a test run. Explain what you did.
We did. Dr. Wendell McConaughey and his staff very graciously brought 5th and 6th graders from Falk Laboratory School here at the university on two buses. And the 5th and 6th graders came out, and we explained to them that they were here as part of a simulation. We wanted them to pretend that they had come with a family or some friends for the day. We gave them the booklets, and we turned them loose. And they were absolutely marvelous field testers for us.
How much did you emphasize to the students that they could be very honest about what they thought of the exercises and what was in this handbook?
We made that a big prominent part of our presentation and told them, if it's boring, we need to know it. You cannot hurt our feelings. please tell us if something was confusing, if the page was a little dull, if it took you too long to do it. Remember that we need your advice because we don't want other children to come here and have a crummy time.
And what did they think of the handbook? What kind of feedback did you end up receiving?
We got marvelous feedback. First of all, they were very diligent. As maybe your listeners have seen from photographs, they really wanted to do a good job. They went all over the memorial. They worked on every single page. And then in very polite language, we would get little notes on this in the margins that would say, this was a little boring, or this was confusing, or nobody in our group could figure out this word. We also had some very touching, spontaneous activities emerge. A group of girls said, on this page about reflection, we stood at the wall of names and had a moment of silence and then read all the names. So children chose their own ways of honoring the passengers and crew and of thinking about this space. What we noticed at one point, somebody said, and I don't know what they're doing, they seem to be tearing the books. And we were puzzled until we found little corners of the booklet torn off and spontaneous tributes written by the children and left in the niches with the coins and the medallions and the flowers that other visitors have left. So the children were very thoughtful and I think very engaged in the experience, and we are very grateful to them and hope that that will be a long partnership of field testing.
Had you anticipated any of this type of reaction? I mean, how much of it surprised you?
Well, I've been at this kind of work generally with children for many, many years, so there weren't a lot of surprises, but on the other hand, when you work with children, you always have some surprises. So I think that the depth of their questions, for example, one young man said to me, I want to talk to the guy who was in charge of getting all this land. How did he buy all this land? And I said, oh, I know just who you need to speak with. And Jeff gave him a wonderful explanation because he recognized even at fifth or sixth grade that buying up land from people who were using it for other purposes would not be a simple task. So I think we were taken aback by the depth of the questions that the children asked, about the seriousness with which children took this responsibility for field testing. And as one child said, rather poignantly, I was only a month old when this happened, and now I've been reading and listening all week about the Boston Marathon bombers, and so I have really a lot of things to think about. Mm-hmm.
Jeff Reinbold, what do you think of the way that the handbook turned out? And granted, there are some revisions to be made, but as far as what you saw of the book and how it impacted the children, what was your reaction?
Well, we owe Dr. Kerr and her team and the students from the Falk School and the administration a huge thank you for what they've helped contribute or helped create here. What I like about the book is it's constantly evolving, and we're going to learn more about it, and everybody who's been part of it recognizes that there's not really a day that it's probably done, that there will be one where there is an official first printing of it, but this is something that changes significantly. I mean, we've seen the questions that people ask us, adults ask us, they're very different today than they were 10 years ago. And the questions that the students from the school asked, I was blown away by their thoughtfulness and their insight. I mean, they grilled us on all kinds of questions or asked all kinds of questions about some of the symbolism in the memorial that a lot of adults don't ask you. And it was amazing to see the site through their eyes and to see how seriously they took the task of teaching each other and the students and children who will come in the future. So for us, you know, I don't know that in our wildest dreams we would have thought that by bringing together all these different partners and then researchers like this, that we would end up with a product or at least a discussion with the children, a place so that when parents arrive, we're helping them tell the story or helping them answer the questions that they get on the car ride home, which is often when it happens, and helping our wonderful staff and our volunteers. I don't know in our wildest dreams if we would have thought that it would have progressed this way and come along. So we're thrilled with where we are and the wonderful support we've gotten.
Dr. Kerr, we're just about out of time, but what changes will you make now to the handbook? What happens next?
What will happen next is we'll take it back to the drawing board, make some revisions, tweak some wording, have it translated, have it available in audio tape for children who have difficulty reading. And as Jeff said, it will continue to evolve. That's one of the delights about this work.
We've been talking about a project by the National Park Service and the School of Education at the University of Pittsburgh to develop a Junior Ranger handbook for children ages 6 to 12 to understand what happened at the Flight 93 memorial site. We've been joined by phone by Jeff Reinbold, the memorial superintendent, and Mary Margaret Kerr, a professor of psychology and education at the University of Pittsburgh. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Coming up, on the heels of the Cleveland kidnapping, a forensic psychologist discusses the readjustment process for people who have been kidnapped. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.